Hey there, I'm Matt Tommy, and over the last 10 years, I've helped thousands of Christian artists all over the world start thriving spiritually, artistically, and in the marketplace, while at the same time building my own super successful art business. If you're ready to bust through the roadblocks that have held you back for years, create the work you love, and really live the life you know God created you to live in His kingdom, then you're in the right place, my friend. Now with over a million downloads, you're listening to the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. Well, hey, my friends, I'm so glad that you're with me here on another edition of the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. I'm super honored to have a new friend of mine, Dan McCollum, who is here with me today talking about creative block and increasing the flow of the creative with the Holy Spirit in your life. Dan, thanks so much, man, for being with me today.
I'm thrilled to be with you, Matt. Thanks.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed watching and partaking of your ministry over the years, and was really blessed to get to hang out with you for the weekend at our mutual friend Jim Baker's church not too long ago, and just love all that you do globally around the world, not only for creatives, but just helping people hear God's voice and walk in the prophetic. And so I just thought maybe for those folks who are just getting to know you, or maybe are getting to know where you're at right now, kind of give us the thumbnail sketch of who you are, what you do, and that sort of thing before we get into today's topic.
Sure. Well, I was a professional musician for 7 years, touring with various bands, and then did the worship leader, youth pastor thing, which I loved. But I now oversee two organizations. One is called Sounds of the Nations, and we help people write and record songs of worship in their own style and their own language. Every year for the last probably 6-7 years, we've had somebody on the red carpet as the number one artist in their nation. I've been doing that for about 21 years. And then also for the last decade, I co-founded an organization called Prophetic Company that is dedicated to helping people recognize and respond to the voice of God. It's like hearing God shouldn't be hard because we were made with an innate God connection.
Yeah.
And so we help people recognize His voice so that they can respond to it and live with greater clarity and greater purpose.
Yeah. So good. I just had Ray Hughes on the other day on the podcast. We did a back-to-back episode with him, just had the best time. And we got to talking about comparison and how it, you know, shuts down creativity and that sort of thing. And I can imagine for you and your work with musicians and creatives all over the world, helping them to really own their sound, whether that is an actual sound musically or just creatively, a big part of that is kicking out comparison and really walking in who God's created you to be, right?
That is a huge part. There is such a inferiority complex when people try to compete with the West, especially in second and third world countries. They just even convincing them the value of what they create is a huge, huge task.
Yeah, absolutely. I can remember years ago when I was still leading worship, we went to a church in Kenya, a pretty significant church. I was going to be leading worship and speaking. And I was so excited. I was like, this is going to be great. I'm going to be able to hear what East African worship sounds like and all that. And I walked in and they were singing hill songs and all the stuff that we were singing, you know, totally, in America. And somehow they had bought into this idea that if it came from America, it was somehow better than their sound. And I think all creatives, not just, you know, culture, but we all kind of tend to buy into that a lot, that somehow the grass is greener for everybody else except for me.
Yeah. And the tragedy of that is in not knowing what the authentic sound or your own authenticity brings to the equation.
Yeah.
It's absolutely huge. As a matter of fact, you know, every revival or every cultural transformation has had a sound. And again, this applies to painting. It applies to sculpture, every area of creativity. But so you can take this literally or metaphorically, but every cultural revolution has had a sound, which was basically an original articulation of what was happening in society or about to happen expressed through the arts or through creativity. And so when you forfeit that locally, you actually forfeit the transformation of your city, of your region, by sacrificing to something more. It is more universal in a sense, but what causes it to touch down locally is the authenticity in the local setting.
I mean, we could have a whole series of podcasts on that.
That's so true.
It's such a big issue because, you know, I think, you know, hearing you and Ray and Don Potter and all the guys that I've kind of grown up listening to over the years, just that, you know, every region, every church, everybody has a sound that God wants release. And every artist has a sound, and has a voice, if you will. This, you know, we're always talking about your unique creative voice here on the podcast. I want to kind of transition into talking about one of the things that I think stops people from, you know, being able to walk in that is this elusive thing that so many people think they have, which is what people would term creative block, in this idea that I just got nothing. I can't operate in what God's called me to. You wrote a great article the other day that was kind of the impetus for us getting together and doing this podcast. But I wanted to just give you some space to talk about creative block. And just by way of introduction, I think one of the things that I've always found in my own life is that creative block is usually this kind of either I'm not with Jesus or I'm not actively cultivating inspiration in my life, that I'm just kind of walking in dry, if you will, to the studio. And so talk to me about creative block and why people may think they have it and what they can do to walk through that.
You know, Matt, I think it starts with the myth that creativity is a mood, that it's an atmosphere, that it's a gift that some have and some do not, which is actually a Greek origin, going back to Greek mythology, the idea that muse spirits would come with certain graces and deposit them in humans to allow them to communicate on a higher level through the arts. And, it really appeals to the superhero mindset of today, right. But it's not based in reality. It's not real. And yet so many of us treat it like that way. I'm sitting down waiting to be inspired. I'm waiting for this creative event to happen to me. Or, you know, the idea that our greatest creativity comes from our greatest pain. And it's like, well, that lie is based in maybe that's the only time you're getting real. Maybe that's the only time you're getting vulnerable, you know. And if you could find that authenticity or that vulnerability outside of your pain, then you wouldn't have to create from pain. You could create from joy and life. And
So good. Well, and this idea that, you know, I think so many people who, you know, want to engage the Holy Spirit in the creative process and that sort of thing, they assume a place of disconnection as opposed to assuming that, hey, Holy Spirit already lives inside of me. There's already this connection. That's huge for people, isn't it? Realizing that who you are in Christ defines the position from which you create from, right?
So important, because if you believe that there is a designer that created all things, if I believe that person is Jesus Christ, but if you believe that, then you are part of the genius of the universe. And then we understand from the Bible that he actually created us in his image, when the only image presented in that context was the image of a creator. So you've actually been made in the likeness and the image of the most creative being in the universe. Therefore, your creativity is one of the highest manifestations of your divine nature. Mm. When you are creating, you are communing, whether you realize it or not. When you are creating, you are manifesting that you are not just a product of creation, but you are sharing in the divine nature of the creator himself, which is astounding.
It's so good. It's such a huge invitation that I think, again, when you just push creativity over to, I got to create out of pain or out of the angst in my life, you miss the beautiful invitation that God's given us to flow with him. And so I want to give you just some space to talk about this idea of increasing our creative flow with the Lord. Not that we can make everything a formula or the three tips or the five tips, you know, whatever, but there are signposts along the way, right? That if we're following these principles, we can begin to do that. And so as folks are into this new year and wanting to see a greater measure of the Holy Spirit and God's creativity flowing through their life, what are some of the things that you would encourage them to do?
Awesome. Well, the first one I would call creative initiative, making time for your creativity, like setting a priority. And I think what happens is sometimes we address creativity like it's something that should get our leftover time rather than our prime time.
Yeah.
But I actually believe it's part of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yeah.
And out of that, the promise is that all these other things will be added unto you. You know, in Matthew 5:16, where it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's like a lot of times we think of, you know, our light shining and good deeds as miraculous supernatural events, right, or deeds of righteousness, like witnessing or giving to the poor or right, whatever. And that's all true. But the literal definition is way more broad and applies actually to real life and creativity. That word works is ergon, which defined means an enterprise, an undertaking, any product whatsoever, anything accomplished by hand or art, industry or mind, an act, a deed, a thing done. The idea of working is emphasized. So your creative work, your art, your deeds are what actually shine for the Lord. Mm. And so taking the initiative that actually when I'm creating, I am communing. I actually think that creativity can be part of your devotional life.
Yeah.
If you will practice your connection with the Lord, practice that idea of communing while creating, it can be one of the most beautiful ways that you stay inspired and connect with the Lord. I mean, Stephen King is not a Christian that I know of, but he said, you know, amateurs sit and wait for inspiration, but the rest of us just get up and go to work.
Yeah.
And that idea of creative initiative, that my creative initiative, my starting something has value in the world and has value in my life, I think is really important. When you put off your creativity to another time or another season, then you don't realize sometimes that you are closing the gate on the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Yeah.
See, when you make creativity a priority, then everything you face during the day, you are facing from an open gate to the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Yeah. But when you put it off to time that you will have later, then you address it from the limitations of what you already know and understand. And so our creative initiative of prioritizing our creativity is part of what gives us the creative grace, the access of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden in Jesus that will allow us to address every problem, every challenge of the day with a creative connection. And I love how Emerson said that. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, guard well your spare moments because they're like uncut diamonds. Mm. Discard them, their value will never be known. But if you improve them, they will become the brightest gems in a useful life. Yeah. And Matt, one of the things I've found is that by establishing a creative priority, it's much like multiplying time. I wrote this book called Bending Time.
Yeah.
But Martin Luther in the late 1400s, he said, I have so much to do today, I can't possibly get it done unless I spend the first 3 hours in prayer, which is kind of opposite to how a lot of us think. It's like, well, I don't have time to pray today, but I'll pray when I have time. And he's like, I have so much to do today, I'm going to multiply my time by seeking God first. Mm. And I believe that creativity does the same thing. It actually has this exponential impact to multiply our time by accessing the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are available to us as one united with Christ.
That's so beautiful. You know, I know one of the things that a lot of artists really struggle with is, you know, this, that whole thing you're talking about of, you know, when I'm inspired, then I'll create, as opposed to creating and allowing inspiration to flow and bubble up as you're in the process. And so that, you know, struggle there keeps them in this place of not experiencing the acceleration of their skill development, of opportunities and momentum that we all want to feel as artists. And I think it gets back to, for a lot of people, this kind of idea that so many Christians have been taught of, which I think is one part of the discussion, you know, wait upon the Lord. So, okay, I'm going to wait on Jesus. So everything that, you know, I need to be doing in my life, he's just going to somehow come and supernaturally do it, as opposed to this idea that God's already given us everything we need for life and godliness by his grace. We access it through faith, which means I got to show up in the studio. I got to start doing the work. And so talk about the difference of, you know, the balancing act between times to wait on the Lord versus walking with this, not in a prideful way, but assumption that, hey, God's with me. His Holy Spirit's with me. He's activated and living inside of me and is able, ready, and willing to flow with me at any point that I'm ready to engage that. Where's the balance in that?
Matt, this is so much a place where we need to flip the script on what we believe, you know, because this is what I find. And I've had the privilege, probably like you, of traveling, you know, six continents and speaking to people and cultures all around the world. And it's the same thing everywhere. Is like, people want to measure their spirituality by their personal performance. Mm. And, you know, by how well I seek the Lord. And that is a component in the equation. But the much greater factor in this equation is that when you ask God into your life, he came in. You know, you were already created in his image. You were already created with a God connection. And this is why it shouldn't be hard for you, is that dwelling in God was your natural habitat. You were actually removed from that habitat through ignorance, through sin, through selfishness, those kind of things. Yeah. But that was actually your original environment, is you were connected to have a symphony of connections with the Lord. Like, every part of your being was wonderfully crafted to commune with God. And then when you ask Christ in, whether you think you're good at following him or not, he's really good at possessing you. Mm. Like, God is good at what he does.
Yeah.
And if you just flip the script from, I'm not very good at following God, to, God is really great at what he does.
Yeah.
And I asked him in, and he came in, and he's really good at possessing me, then it puts us in this better scriptural position of not putting confidence in our flesh, but putting confidence in Christ dwelling in me, which is really the secret to all success. It's the secret to all fruitfulness. It's the secret to favor. It's the secret to walking in confidence and clarity. Really, every aspect that we need, as you quoted from Peter a little while ago, that everything we need pertaining to life and godliness comes through the knowledge of Him. But that knowledge of Him is more inside out than most people think. Yeah. It is in the indwelling Christ. As Jesus said, apart from me, you can't do anything. Yeah. But when you abide in me, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you can ask anything and it will be done, and you will bear much fruit, and that fruit will remain. And I love this from John 15:9. He said, so abide in my love. And that's it. Yeah. It's like, Could the gospel of Jesus be this good? Could our Creator be this good?
Yeah.
And I have found that to be absolutely true, and even only the beginning of that truth. So when you don't have confidence in your ability to follow, have confidence in His ability to lead. Have confidence in His ability to possess. Have confidence in your original design, that you were made for this, and that the challenge is not getting God to speak, but the challenge is recognizing all the ways that God is already speaking to you.
Yeah. And then you talked about, just lastly, in the article that you wrote, which we'll be sure to link to so folks can grab that, but just this idea of stirring up the gift within you, which is essentially what we've been alluding to of you know, you got to show up in the studio. You got to do the stuff. You know, that's, I think for me, when I look back at my creative journey of the last 12 or 13 years, especially with my baskets and everything, I had done my artwork as a hobby for years and years and years, but it wasn't until, and there was a measure of growth, but it wasn't until I started really setting in what I would, you know, call a studio practice of being in the studio on a daily basis, a certain amount of hours, really, you know, pressing in, that I started to see acceleration. And so again, that's not something that I would say God's going to do to you, but he wants to do with us. So how would you, you know, encourage people as they're thinking about stirring up the gift that's within them?
Yeah. You know, I think we have this idea too, Matt, that grace is going to do it for us.
Right.
And I do believe in going where the grace is. I believe there's grace. When there's not grace to create, there's always grace to refine.
Yeah.
But you need to suspend the refiner grace to access the creative grace in a way. But thinking of grace as something that empowers us to work, not as a feeling, but as a reality, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he said, by the grace of God, I am with what I am. And his grace was not without effect. He said, no, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me.
Yeah.
And realizing that there is grace to work hard. There is grace to, you know, go the distance, to persevere. I think, again, because of the occasional lightning strike of success, you know, in music industry, we call it the one hit wonder.
Right.
Somebody would write a song and it would be a hit, but because it came by inspiration, they don't actually know how to duplicate that.
Right.
And so they had creative wisdom, but not understanding. And understanding is what establishes the process and the ability not only to produce, but to reproduce.
Yeah.
And then knowledge to market and to replicate. And actually, creativity is the summation of three virtues. By wisdom, a house is built. So that's creativity. Wisdom births things.
Yeah.
But by understanding, the house is established. It's through understanding that you actually learn the process of refining and replicating what you've created. And then through knowledge, you learn how to market it. You learn the value of it. Yeah. And I think what happens is sometimes the divine inspiration that comes by wisdom is so euphoric that we don't press into the grace of understanding, of actually retrospective thinking. What was the system that birthed this, and how could I replicate that? I love what the prophet Graham Cook said. He said, when we do by intention what we've done by intuition, we achieve acceleration. And learning through retrospective thinking, how did that happen? What did that look like? What was I doing? And what was the result of it? That causes a wisdom moment to turn into an understanding moment that will establish something and make it not only you able to produce, but you able to reproduce. Yeah. And there is an acceleration in that intentionality of applying your grace to the hard work of retrospective analysis of your creative process, and then using that to propel you forward of, okay, I had a moment of inspiration, but what did I learn in that moment that I can take with intentionality to stir up the gift inside of me and to push that forward? This is where acceleration comes from. Yeah. And this is a fuller expression, really, of that trinity of virtues of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge that really causes us to be successful in any creative venture.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I wanted to, before we wrap up today, you are just one of the best people I know at activating people's ability to hear God's voice, to walk in the prophetic, and that sort of thing. That, you know, the prophetic is not just something for a simple few, but it, you know, a select few, but it's a part of the kingdom package that all of us have to be able to hear God's voice and speak. And so, yeah, I know that there's so many artists out there who may, as they're listening to the podcast today, they're like, I want to be creating with the Holy Spirit. I want to do this, but hearing God's voice is just something that I've never been taught, or something I've not gotten a lot of experience in. It's something that maybe is not normal in their stream of the body of Christ or whatever. So what would you say somebody, you know, brand new, Dan, off the street, they're like, you say you can hear God's voice and that I could be a conduit for his presence. Like, what? Like, how do you even start? Where does that even start with him?
That's so good. You know, we have in the prophetic company, we've identified four primary areas that people receive spiritual intelligence. And that is through seeing, and then hearing, sensing or feeling, and then knowing or perceiving. And each one of those, honestly, is an incredibly exciting journey. And then within those four categories, Matt, we found three dimensions that some people see externally. In other words, they'll see something in creation, and that's what will inspire them. And I love this verse from Romans 1:20. Everything that can be known about God can be clearly seen and understood through what has been made. So creation itself is encoded with the message of who God is, and actually everything about his power and his nature can be seen and experienced through the created realm itself. So you can look at something externally and experience a spiritual truth, a spiritual revelation, a moment of epiphany. And actually, God put that there. He encoded creation with it, with an element of his divine nature for you to discover and to find. So that's an external. Then internal would be like to have an imagination. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things is we over-spiritualize visions. You know, vision is a tool of your imagination. It literally is. I like what Mike Murdoch said. He said that your imagination is the design studio where you design and determine a better or more desirable future. Okay. And so a lot of people discount their imaginations, but it literally is one of the vehicles God speaks through. In the book of Joel, he said in chapter 2:28, he said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and there will be visions and there'll be dreams. In other words, your vision realm is one of the connections that you have with the Father, and even your dream realm, whether it be night dreams or daydreams, that is a place you can commune with the Father. And we would call that internal vision. And then there's a whole nother realm of just kind of the spiritual world invading or overlapping our own world, where people have what would be called an open vision, where they see spiritual activity or a spiritual vision overlaying this natural realm. And that's a real thing. We see it in the Bible. We see it in history. You know, even even Einstein was interviewed in Saturday Evening Post in 1958, and they asked him how he got the idea for the theory of relativity, E equals MC squared. Yeah. And he said, whenever I get like brain block, I will go and listen to music or play music. He was a concert violinist. Mm-hmm. And he said, and as I do that, the creativity will come to me. Like, that was his source of inspiration. But I love what he said. He said, the theory of relativity came by musical inspiration. It was a revelation that came through the music.
Yeah.
And so I think we find these connection points. And again, it can be visual, it can be audio, it can be sensual in the sense of sensitivity, or it can be intuitive as a knower or a perceiver. And so we have different ways of connecting with God, of receiving spiritual information. Some are more externally tuned, some are more internally tuned, some are more mystically or spiritually tuned. And but each of these are very valid ways of knowing and experiencing the voice of God, our God connection. And through that, then you can know the thoughts, the voice, and the heart of God, which is the source of all creativity and inspiration.
That's so good. You know, I know that there are people listening right now. They're like, I want that. I want to be walking in that revelation. I want to be experiencing that in my life. And so, Dan, I would love it. Before we kind of let everybody know where to connect with you and everything, would you just take a moment and pray, and let's just ask Holy Spirit to activate the gifts that are already inside of people that he wants to wake up so that they can begin to experience all the things that we're talking about today.
Thank you, Matt. I'd love to. Father, yeah. We just thank you that this isn't hard. This is who we are. This is how you created us. And Lord, right now, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would reveal to people ways that they're already hearing you, mm-hmm. ways that they're already experiencing you, that they just didn't know was you. Yeah. Father, I thank you that in the complexities of my journey, I have found the simplicity of how you are already speaking. Mm-hmm. And I pray that over our friends listening today, that Lord God, in the complexity of life, they would be tutored by Holy Spirit to discover the simplicity of how you are already speaking to them, that they would have that, oh, that was God moments that would just awaken to them. And Father, I also just release my grace, anything that's shareable, Lord, I just release and impart to them in Jesus' name that today would be a day of seeing God, of hearing God, of feeling God, or knowing and perceiving God. And that, Father, people would have profound encounters with you that would define a greater, more life-giving journey for each one that is listening or watching today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dan, what a joy. I'm refreshed after today. Thank you so much for just sharing who you are and just letting the overflow out of you. I know folks are going to want to connect with you and all that you're doing at Prophetic Company and all that. So where's the best place they can connect online?
Sure. They can go to propheticcompany.com to find out what's going on. Or if they're looking for resources, you can find our books on Amazon or our e-courses on activateprophecy.com.
Awesome. Well, Dan McCollum, always great to be with you. And thank you so much for taking the time to sow into this army of artists all over the world.
Such a pleasure, Matt. Thanks for what you do.
Hey, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today on the podcast. Listen, I hope it's been a huge encouragement to you on your journey as an artist. Hey, also, before you leave, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the other episodes of the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. And also, be sure to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or at my website, which is matttommymentoring.com. Until next time, remember, you were created to thrive. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.